section of the World Trade Center has collapsed onto the street below.
Pentagon is now being evacuated.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Files, a prologue to our 9/11 series. It's a pleasure to welcome Jim Mars to the program. Jim, one of the better investigative journalists, Jim has come on board as a consultant to the series. And Jim, we appreciate you working with us. It's good to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, Jerry, it's always good to be with you.
Now, you have a new book that you're busy writing now that we won't get into too much detail, but it's, I've heard you talk about this subject before, but it's kind of connected in a way, and that's I always think of it as the Illuminati or something. But what you're talking about, a huge worldwide government conspiracy, a black government or something? What are you talking about there in
right.
your new book?
Well,
I know you can't give away too much.
Right. Well, we tend, Jerry, to look at events as if they're just separate and unconnected. We know about the rise of communism. We know about the rise of Hitler and the Nazis. We know about the Cold War. And we think that all that is just separate issues in history. What I have found in my research and what I'm going to try to show is you've got the same families, the same bloodlines, sometimes even the same personalities. They created communism, funded it. They co-opted the Russian Revolution and created a communist government in Russia. And then when it threatened to get out of their control, they then created Hitler and the Nazis as a bloc against Eastern communism. And then when he got out of control, that we saw the specter of they had to ally the capitalist West with the communist East to try to stop Hitler. Then they moved into the Cold War, East versus West, which was the original game plan. And, of course, in the early 90s, that fell apart. So they had to cast around for another villain, something to keep the profit line going in the military-industrial complex. And, of course, now we're on this nebulous, never-ending war on terrorism.
And, you know, you're laying out something here that seems to be the underlying symptom underneath all of this to me, and that seems to be a simple motive of greed, getting more government money, more corporate money, getting money under false pretenses, so to speak.
Well, actually, it goes deeper than that, Jerry. I mean, yes, money, wealth, that's important. That leads to their real true goal, which is control. They want to control. One of the Rockefellers recently was quoted as saying they want a chipped population that will just be a consumer slaves, basically. And if you look at the debt statistics in this country, you know, we supposedly did away with slavery in 1865, and yet most people today get up, go to a job they don't really like, and just keep working at it because they're so far in debt, there's nothing else they can do. They are what is known as debt slaves.
It's kind of a modern company store type deal.
Right. And in fact, it's interesting because a lot of people are claiming that what we see in the United States today is fascism. And fascism is defined in the dictionary as the combined power of the corporations and the state. You combine that, and that's the definition, dictionary definition of fascism. But what's interesting is that Mussolini, who is credited with coining the term fascism because that comes from his black-shirted fascistas, he himself said that fascism is really not the proper term. The proper term is corporatism, okay, where you have corporate business running the country. Now, in fascist Italy and Nazi Germany, we saw the state gain control over the corporations. In modern America, what's happened is the corporations have gained control over the state. But, hey, the end result's the same.
You're right. It's intermixing. And we are going to be working together on a series of shows that you're kind of consulting us with on 9/11. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. But I want to talk about your book. This is the second book you've written on that.
Oh, the terror conspiracy?
Yes, right.
Actually, it's all been one book. I actually wrote the bulk of this book in 2002. and I had already followed the evidence, and what it clearly showed was
Early on, you were turned on that there was something wrong.
I was on to it.
The official report.
The very next day, on September the 12th, 2001, I posted on my website, jimmars.com. I said, this is terrible, and I agree with President Bush. We have to find out who's truly responsible for this and see that they're punished. I said, but let's don't run off half-cocked. We've been fooled in the past. Pearl Harbor, you know, sneak attack. But now we know that they knew it was going to happen. They allowed it to happen to propel a united and angered United States population into World War II. Now, I'm not arguing the merits of that. Maybe that was necessary. But the point is that they allowed 3,000 Americans to be killed at Pearl Harbor to further their political agenda. So I said, let's be careful about 9/11 and let's find out, because what I saw immediately was just like after the Kennedy assassination, within an hour, when most people didn't even understand what had happened, and a lot of people had not even heard what had happened, they were already saying, we got one guy, he did it. Lee Harvey Oswald in 1963, Osama bin Laden in 2001. And I said, let's find out what's really going on. So I began to start digging in, and what I found was, in both the Clinton administrations and the early Bush administration, there were actually steps taken to block investigations into this international terrorist.
How do you explain that? It seems to me that what you're saying, Jim, is that there's a government up front, and then there's really somebody else pulling the strings.
Well, if you'll remember, just a day or two after 9/11, when there was some concern about maybe more terrorist attacks, we were actually told, and it was reported in the mainstream media, that there was a shadow government. A shadow government.
And they made the announcement the shadow government had gone to this...
Yeah, to hide out in Mount Weather, wherever it is. Okay, well, now, wait a minute, folks. What's the shadow government? And do we get to vote for them?
I didn't see them on the ballot.
I didn't either. Who has control over the shadow government?
They didn't buy one political ad.
No. No. And what party does the shadow government belong to?
Right. So, actually, that is one of these things that I think is very interesting, and I'd like to get your readout about it, is that these people that are pulling all of these things off, these so-called conspiracies, and I think they are, because they're things that we don't admit to, but they're happening.
Well, they're events that are caused by more than one person, which means it's a conspiracy.
Right. So, what I'm saying is, it's not like they don't tell you, and it doesn't show up in the official record. It does if you look hard enough.
That's true. In fact, one of the few possibly good things that came out of 9/11 was that it rehabilitated the word conspiracy. Up until then, you know, I and many other people have tried to say there was a conspiracy to kill Kennedy, there was a conspiracy to kill Robert Kennedy, conspiracy to kill Martin Luther King, a conspiracy at the Murrah Federal Building, a conspiracy in Waco, conspiracy at Ruby Ridge, and the media acted like, well, that's just silly because conspiracies don't happen in this country. But today, the Bush administration, even President Bush himself, we all agree that 9/11 was a conspiracy.
Now, the
question becomes, whose conspiracy was it?
That was my question. Is this the same people behind all of those things you ticked off?
Well, when you go back and really start digging into it, you find that, yes, it can be tracked up to certain government leaders, corporate leaders, and, yes, they all tend to tie together. For example, there's a growing amount of evidence that the father of President Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, believe it or not, had connections into the Kennedy assassination. The day after the assassination, there's an FBI document talking about the reaction of the anti-Castro Cuban community to the assassination, and it said this has been information provided by Mr. George Bush of the CIA.
Yeah, in fact, I've heard, and maybe you've seen a document that backs up or not, but Papa Bush, as I like to call him, even though there was a predecessor, Prescott, even before him, he made a call to the CIA, I think, from Texas, not in Dallas, but a little town out Greenville or Weatherford or someplace out there.
Right.
I don't know.
Which is within 20, 30 minutes driving of Dallas.
Like he was setting up an alibi.
Right. And, in fact, interestingly enough, George Herbert Walker Bush turned in to the Secret Service the name of a man named James Parrott and said he may have been connected to the assassination. It turns out that James Parrott, at that time, was just a young political activist who was working against some of the buddies of Bush. So, in other words, they took the opportunity to try to get in trouble one of their political opponents.
And, well, that's not new with this group.
No, that's the way they play. They play hardball right down the line. And you mentioned Prescott Bush. I hope everybody realizes that in the middle of World War II, in late 1942, Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the current president, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, was actually prosecuted by the federal government of the United States under the Trading with the Enemies Act, and they said he was nothing but a financial front man for Hitler and the Nazis.
And I guess they would have gone ahead and prosecuted him, but somebody, I think maybe Roosevelt, said let's not do it during a war or something.
Well, this is interesting. I don't know if you know this, Jerry.
Yeah.
In the summer of 1942, when Prescott undoubtedly knew that they were looking into his business dealings and that it was probably going to come out that he was, through his holdings in Union Banking Corporation, had provided funding and support for Hitler and the Nazis. What does he do? In the summer of 1942, he creates and founds the United Service Organization, the USO. And if you've ever been in the military, everybody loves the USO.
Yes, they do.
And in World War II, it was a huge part of the war effort.
It was necessary.
That's right. So can you imagine the propaganda disaster and the confusion that would have been created if they had announced that the creator of the USO was a Nazi supporter? They just couldn't do that. So they kind of swept the whole thing under the rug.
Well, you know, it seems that that same modus of operandi has been working all along. Now they're using the Christian element to cover the tracks.
Exactly. And that's one thing that infuriates me about the neocons is the way that they have used and abused the really caring and well-intentioned people of the fundamentalist Christians. They say the right things, but they don't do them.
We are talking with Jim Mars, and we are going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Cindy Sheehan. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and others launched a war that took my son's life. Strong evidence suggests that in promoting the war, they lied to Congress and the American people, and that in conducting the war, they have targeted civilians, hospitals, and journalists, used illegal weapons, imprisoned without charge, tortured and spied on Americans without court approval. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member to begin impeachment proceedings against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
We're talking with Jim Mars, one of the great researchers, investigative reporters, authors, all-around good guy. What kind of title do you want? What kind of title do I need to put on you?
Journalist, author.
That's good. You had a career in journalism right on. You started, you were a police reporter at one time. We talked in great detail about that one time.
Yeah. I still consider myself a journalist. In fact, I've been a member of the Journalism Society since 1966 when I was still in college, and I had dedicated myself to journalism. And I'd simply want to point out to you, Jerry, that I never left journalism. Journalism left me.
It's amazing the way they do handle things now, and I don't think it's all our age.
No.
That causes us to say, look at those people. What do they do? They handout journalism is alive and well. The public relations person is sometimes the main source.
And we were taught early on that you define news as a news story, as a story that would affect the most people. okay?
Right.
So we see a total violation of that, a total reversal of that here just very in the last few days. On the one hand, we had Zbigniew Brzezinski, the chairman of the Trilateral Commission, one of the secret societies,
right,
a former Secretary of State, a man who's written about global politics and global control, testify to the Senate Intelligence Committee that the Bush administration will attack Iran and that they will probably institute a provocation. In other words, I set up some phone.
Yeah, another one, right.
Get us in there. And now, and that's coming from Zbigniew Brzezinski, and yet that got short shrift in the news media because the news media was filled with stories about the death of Anna Nicole Smith, which, of course, I feel sorry for her and her family, but how does that really impact all of us? It doesn't.
It doesn't at all, and you're right. News you can use. I'm not quite sure we can use all this information about Anna Nicole Smith and her mother.
Exactly. So according to one of the basic things I was taught, that the biggest news story is the one that affects the most people, it's just stood on its head.
Well, you know, even this, what we're talking about here, first of all, I feel the people in the media that are doing this, like we're talking about 9/11 basically here, the people have let that story go, and there's obvious questions. I mean, it stinks from high heaven the first day. They're not asking any questions.
No, and there's such basic questions. I'll give you two. Mayor Giuliani of New York, on that day, he does not go to his brand new multi-million-dollar hardened command center in Building 7. He goes to a temporary command center, and then later that afternoon, giving news conferences, he states that while he's in the temporary center, somebody ran in and said, "You've got to evacuate. The towers are about to collapse," and that they were actually in the process of getting out and leaving when the buildings came down. Very simple question. Mr. Mayor, who was it that told you those buildings were coming down? How did they know? And why didn't they tell the firemen in those buildings that they were about to collapse? So there's one question. Another question to me that I'd like to ask somebody is, who was it that authorized the bin Laden family members to fly across the United States during the no-fly zone when you and I couldn't fly and gather in Boston and then left the country without being seriously interrogated? Who authorized that?
To my knowledge, no one's answered that question, but probably because I haven't heard anybody really ask.
That's true. That's because there's no news media.
Yeah. Let's get to that point, Jim, because I really think that if you get and really examine the facts here, the news media, by not asking these questions, not doing their job, by covering up, they're much more guilty than just playing along with the corporate interest.
They are complicit.
Yes, they are.
They're part of it. Now, that's just tragic, you know. And especially to me, someone who's dedicated my life to journalism and bringing the news and trying to find truth as best you can and bring it to the public.
And you know, I consider them just as guilty as the people who did whatever they did at 9/11.
Well, I know I'm a Texan. I've lived in Texas all my life, and in Texas we've actually executed people that did not pull the trigger, but they were there or they helped cover up the crime there. Under the law, they're called accomplices after the fact. And the news media in this country are now have put themselves in the position of being accomplices after the fact.
How do you explain there must be some good reporters out there?
There are.
I mean,
I can tell it to you very simply. There is no control over every editor and every reporter out there in this country. Obviously, that would be impossible. In fact, I know some very good editors, some very good reporters. The problem is there is very tight control over the distribution of the information. Today, there is literally a handful of multinational corporations, Disney, Viacom, etc., that control everything we see and hear. And I'm not just talking news. I'm talking billboards,
sure,
radio, CD, satellite, cable, movies, magazines, you name it. And if the top corporate leadership says, we're not going to run this, or we are going to run this, then you know, we don't get to see it. And unfortunately, it's a case of if you didn't hear about it, then it didn't happen.
I still have the problem of the reporters, or not necessarily in the reporters, let's say the news manager, the editor. They obviously know what's a good story. And I guess it all boils down to the fact, I remember when I, especially when 9/11 first happened, everybody was very sensitive. And if you make a little comment or something or start investigating, well, now, could this really be true? I get called in on the carpet, not in a harsh way, don't do that.
Right.
It was more like, you're offending a lot of people here.
Right.
And
let's don't upset the advertisers.
Right. That's exactly.
That's the main thing is
that's
we don't
exactly.
And those people
were sincere that were saying that. It's the guys
right.
up above, I guess.
That's right. And we're back to corporatism.
Yes.
Okay? The corporations are the advertisers, the sponsors.
That's right.
We don't want to get them upset, so we're not going to talk about it.
Oh, I have thing. Lots of people don't advertise with me because we do shows like this.
That's right. All right, let's take NBC. NBC Nightly News, you know. Oh,
yeah,
that's
right.
Supposed to be a premier mainstream mm-hmm. hardcore news organization, and yet who owns NBC? General Electric.
That's true.
And General Electric is one of the biggest defense contractors in the country. Do you think they're really going to put a story on that would, like, call into question what's happening in Iraq? They're not going to do it.
You got a good point there. In fact, a lot of people say, well, Iraq's not going according to plan. I kind of think it is.
I kind of think it is, too. I think when President Bush got on that aircraft carrier and had a big sign over him says, mission accomplished, it's true.
Yeah.
You know, we destabilized the Middle East. We've got control over their oil. We looted the Iraqi National
and
Museum.
And we're making billions every week from the American
and
taxpayer.
Halliburton and the corporations yeah. are reaping huge profits, and they're stripping liberties of the American people. Mission accomplished.
You got a good point. Now, let's talk about 9/11. Down to the basics. Why would somebody do that?
I think what we see on 9/11 is the same thing we saw in the Kennedy assassination, which is a confluence of agendas.
Various interests, they get together and right. they're all working in a common goal, and they may or may not have even talked about it.
Well, let's say you and I and owners of big business and you have some buildings that are white elephants. It's not cost effective to tear them down and got asbestos in them. Then we'll give you a permit to tear them down. You can't fill them up. Well, you're kind of stuck to the tune of millions of dollars. Me, I want a war over in another country. Okay. Paul, he wants to beef up the defense budget, but it's kind of tough going because with the collapse of communism,
yeah, there's no Cold War.
We're spending
more money than ever.
Yeah, there's no enemy. So, you know, so all of a sudden, you know, we're sitting around having drinks and we're going, you know, you're moaning about your problems, I'm moaning about ours. And it just kind of gets to be a consensus that, well, you know, if we use the ability to electronically capture airplanes and fly them by remote control against the wishes of anybody on board, and if we crash those planes into your buildings and you got double indemnity and, you know, more money out of them than they're worth, and we could use that as an excuse or provocation to start a war, hey, this would take care of everything.
Over the next few months, we're going to bring to the public the ugly face of what really happened on 9/11 and who is behind it.
Some senators have described this as a second Pearl Harbor.
There have been many excellent documentaries on 9/11. Many of these documentaries have uncovered much of the hidden secrets behind the story.
That had been planned for at least a year.
On our series, we're going to attempt to put a face on all of this. The people. Why they did it. Who did it?
We are not exactly sure at the moment of the whereabouts of the Secretary of Defense.
We will attempt to bring you the facts, plain and simple. Our 9/11 series will name the names. We'll tell you who did it. And we'll present the evidence to back up that story. We'll be back with Professor Jim Mars and more of Conspiracy 101. So don't go away. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate magazine. Tape magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the strange and the unknown.